You're listening to Vatican Radio. How can the vigour and vitality generated by the 10th Assembly of the World Council of Churches bring new impetus to the ecumenical movement? How can Christians of different denominations rediscover their common spiritual roots? And how are Catholic leaders aiming to implement the goals of the Assembly in the life of their own local churches? At the conclusion of my trip to Busan, South Korea for the 10-day WCC Assembly, I put those questions to the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, a member of the Catholic delegation and outgoing co-moderator of the Joint Working Group of the Catholic Church and the World Council of Churches. Archbishop Martin began by discussing the documents the group has produced since the last assembly in Porto Alegre, Brazil, 7 years ago.
I think the document that I like best of the ones we produced really three documents. One on the reception of ecumenical documents, you know, how they were received and understood and lived by the Church, and one on young people in the ecumenical movement. The one I liked is about looking at the spiritual roots of ecumenism. We talk about an ecumenism of charity, and we talk about an ecumenism of truth and dialogue, but there's also an ecumenism of holiness. And the more we understand, for example, some of the saints that we have in common, or understand each other's saints, then we come closer to, I think, of what the fundamental roots of ecumenism.
As we've seen here in Korea, there are many saints and martyrs that the churches actually share, aren't there?
There are, and there was one we were talking about in one of the resolutions about, you know, the common sharing of these, that we should be able to do that together. And looking at the saints, for example, before the division of Christianity, or looking again in the same way, looking at liturgical texts and hymns and Christian literature, which exists and is still there from before the division of Christianity. Again, things that we share. And you know, these are aspects of what we share that are sometimes overlooked, and we don't give enough attention to them.
You talked about receptive ecumenism. This is often one of the hardest challenges, isn't it?
Coming at the end of my particular mandate, I can, at the assembly itself, just stand back a little bit and reflect. And one of the things I'm obviously reflecting on is the event itself. And then a little bit on the theology I'd be thinking of. And then the other question is, what happens when I go home? What sort of message do I bring as a diocesan bishop? And how do we ensure that the experiences we've had here can become part of the day-to-day life of a Christian community in my country, and the same would apply in other countries. The tendency is that we'd all go back home into our own little silos and our own structures, and we won't be able to share some of the experience. The experience itself of this assembly, on a human and on a spiritual level, is quite remarkable. There are very few other worldwide Christian gatherings which are like this. You know, World Youth Day is something a little bit like this. But here, the young people are actually very much involved in the process. I think of some of those young people who've come from small churches, churches in island states, very small communities, who come and meet with other young people. It must be a wonderful experience for them of the universality of the Christian message. And again, for all of us to see the variety that's there. You know, that Christian unity shouldn't end up with uniformity. It should end up with respecting a lot of this diversity and liturgical practice in the life of the Church. There's a certain vitality in the assembly, a lot of it due to the fact that there are younger people there. You know, there is this sort of the establishment of ecumenism, which is there. But there's that other dimension which is there, which is very striking. And I wonder, you know, that, for example, at our Synod of Bishops, is there a way in which we might be able to introduce some of this diversity, some of this joy that's there among the young people, and also a little bit of the freedom, even the freedom to be provocative at times, which I think is important, and then the mechanism will solve out the problems in the end. There's a wide variety of discussions going on in which people are reflecting and are very passionate about it. Coming from, you know, some living in Western Christianity, where things are either very intellectual and cerebral, or dry, or even at times bitter, there's something here which then appears in the prayer at various stages, which I found quite interesting.
As you say, the challenge is really how to take this vitality back home. What ideas, perhaps, have you picked up? What ways do you think you can try and share this back home in Ireland?
We have to get to the idea that there are so many things we can be doing together. which we still tend to do separately, and that in societies which become more secularized, we have to give this common witness. I was very pleased that at our Eucharistic Congress, that the first day was dedicated to ecumenism, which was quite a remarkable achievement. If we come down looking at the theological reflections, you know, the sense of our common baptism, that through our baptism we are united with Christ, but then we're also united with each other in the communion of faith and the communion of church. And we have to give much greater realization to that in the way we work. We all come from churches which have their own history, and they're embedded in that history. At times it was necessary for self-preservation, almost, you might say. But we have to find ways in which we can reach a different type of ecumenical consensus and show that publicly. I'm very fortunate that in Dublin we have extremely good relations among the churches. But I would certainly sit down with the Church of Ireland counterpart and talk with them and see where are the areas we can do more, and get that out also into our parishes. You know, there's a certain fatigue in the traditional forms of ecumenism. We have to reawaken that, realise that Christian unity is not something that will be attained overnight, that it involves the pain of giving up some of the things that we feel are important and which probably are not. But there's also no quick fix in ecumenism, that the pain of division, will overcoming it will be a painful process, and we have to address some of that. But there has been, if you look, there's a document on the nature of the church, which will now be presented to the member churches of the World Council of Churches and will also be looked at in Catholic circles. It indicates the vast progress that has taken place over even the last 50 years particularly, and ask the questions of where differences still remain and how we go about doing that. The coming together on a personal level is very important. The theological discussions are also important. They have to go, both of them, at their own pace, but both of them are essential. And then this idea of finding different ways in which we can share the richness of our common spirituality and prayer life is something, again, that we haven't looked at nearly enough.
The other area that's been under the spotlight here has been that of mission, this new way of doing mission, so-called from the margins, which resonates quite strongly with the message that Pope Francis has been putting over. What does that mean for the church in Ireland, which has historically been the place from where missioners were sent to countries all over the world?
Well, I think we have to look, as religious practice goes down in Ireland, we have to look and see, where are we? Are we on the margins of society, as we might see in some aspects of legislation? And on the other hand, where are we with the marginalised? Who are we identifying? Do we know the marginalised in Ireland? And in Ireland, we have this huge problem of the consequences of the economic crisis. I mean, one of the things I'll be launching when I go back is we have a food bank in Dublin, but it isn't able to meet the needs that are coming up in some parishes. I was very struck in reports from the university chaplains to see that one of the things they have to do is to provide food for the students who simply are not getting adequate nourishment because they can't afford it. Now, this is nothing compared to the poverty in developing countries, but we have to look at this and identify who the new marginalised are. And a church, like any other grouping of people, can very easily become established and build its own little establishments and stay with it, be closed within itself. And, this is where Pope Francis, his views are so important, that, the church isn't a comfort zone for the like-minded. It isn't a comfort zone for those who are afraid of the realities of the world. But it's also very challenging for people to break out of their way of thinking. But, we do have to overcome a certain fatigue that is there, renew enthusiasm for mission, and maybe do some of this together with our Christian brothers and sisters in a secularized world.
My thanks there to the Archbishop of Dublin, Dermot Martin, a member of the Catholic delegation to the 10th Assembly of the World Council of Churches in Busan, South Korea.